Take your Bibles with me. Let's go back to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And thank you, Choice Hills Baptist Church. We've enjoyed being here. Thank you for some of you taking time to have us for meals and spending time with us. And I want to say thank you for giving gifts to our children. You know, when you take care of people's children and look out for their children, that encourages us. That means a lot. And we greatly, greatly appreciate that. And thank you for just making us feel so welcome. And we've just enjoyed being here. We make our way back to Acts chapter 16. If you'll pick up with me, let's pick up in verse number 14. This is where we worked our way last night. And now we pick up in Acts 16, verse 14. It says, "A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Would you make note of this idea, and we'll take this for the theme of the Bible message this evening. If you're taking notes, you may want to write this down. What can be done from Philippi? What can be done from Philippi? Now, do not write down what can be done in Philippi, because we looked last night at what can be done in Philippi. What can be done from Philippi? Because Philippi is not the end. Philippi is just the beginning. Philippi is not the goal. Now, you remember, if you want to write this down first of all. Philippi was a place of leading. Philippi was a place of leading. When we found Paul, beginning of Acts chapter 16, he's working his way through Asia Minor, and the Lord begins to close doors on him. And then he gets a vision in the night. A man of Macedonia comes to him in the vision and says, come over and help us. This is not into the next town. This is not the next street. This is next to not the next county over. Macedonia is in Europe, a whole other continent away. And it says, Paul, immediately he is moved. He acts on this moving of the Lord. He's prompted. He goes into Philippi. They go down to this waterside, down by the river, on the Sabbath, because there's no synagogue there. There's no church there. There's no Christians there they know of. And they find this lady, Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. And she accepts Christ as her Savior. God has led them there. If you look at verse number 15, it says this, "And when she was baptized," now she accepts the Lord as her personal Savior. She's saved, and then she's baptized. That's always the order, by the way. And then it says, "And she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." Now, what happens in verse number 15? A church starts. And where does it start? It starts in Lydia's home. She's accepted Christ. Presumably her family's accepted Christ. They've been baptized, and now they've started the Philippi Baptist Church. And now they're meeting. And now God is doing something. But that's not the end. The goal hasn't been met. Great, we wanted to see somebody saved in Philippi. Great, we want to start a church in Philippi. We've just started. What can be done from Philippi? What once was a place of leading, would you write this down? Secondly, now must become a place of laboring. Now, what are they going to do here? Look with me, please, at verse number 16. They start in a great place. We've got a church. Great. Look at verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to what? Prayer. If something's going to be done in Philippi, what are we going to have to bathe it in? We have to bathe it in prayer. How often, let me ask you this, how often are you praying for your city? There's something we do on Wednesday nights at Atlanta. Atlanta is a city, it's a big city, but it's made up of lots of small communities. There are 242 individual neighborhoods in the city of Atlanta. Some of them have 150 people in a neighborhood. Some of them have over 20,000 people in a single neighborhood. But every Wednesday night, we will take one of those neighborhoods and we'll pray the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers in His harvest. We'll pray in our little neighborhood, a home park, and we'll pray for Bolton, and we'll pray for Grant Park, and we'll pray for Ashview Heights, and we'll pray for Vine City, that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into His harvest, praying over the place where God has put us. Why? Because we can't stay there. I remember being in a Kroger talking to a lady. She was behind me in line, and we had just the Wednesday night before that prayed for the Bolton neighborhood. Now, you don't know where Bolton is, but I know where Bolton is. And she had a t-shirt on, a green t-shirt with white letters that said Bolton on the front. And I introduced myself, who I was, and told her what we were doing. And I said, you wouldn't believe this, but we prayed for your neighborhood on Wednesday night. She was spellbound. But you know what happens here in Philippi? They say, we have got to seek the Lord for our city. It says in verse 16, as we went to prayer, here's what happens. Now, this is a new level. Dr. Keene used to always say this. He said, new levels mean new devils. You want to do something for God? Buckle up. Because the devil's not going to be happy about it. And you know what happens? This church begins working and they begin praying. And it says here, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. There's a demon-possessed girl shows up. The gospel is being preached, people are being saved, a church is started, and the devil starts raising his head. And we find this lady, she shows up here. It says in verse number 16, the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, can you imagine? You started a church, and now they're going to go out and they're going to start working. They're going to start witnessing. They're going to start seeing more people saved. And this girl starts following them, demon-possessed girl following them, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, I would kind of like that, Pastor Wood, if when I went door knocking, people followed me and said, these are the servants of the Most High God that show us the way of salvation. That'd be pretty good. But there's a demon-possessed girl. So what do? Look at verse 18. They turn around, it says, she did this many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. You know why they saw this girl that's possessed of a demon, this demon cast out? Because the Lord deserves a proper representation of himself. And this girl is possessed of a devil. She's not living the kind of life that lines up with what she's saying. What she said sounded good, but the way she was living did not line up with it. And he cast the devil out. And I will tell you this, when devils start getting cast out, the devil gets even more mad about it. Would you look at verse number 8 or verse 19? And when her master saw, this is one of the most wonderful pages in Scripture, one of these verses. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone. Now, what had happened? Remember, this girl is going around. She's prognosticating in some way and making money for these men. They're making money off of her being filled with an evil spirit. Well, now she does not have this evil spirit. The hopes of their gains was gone. Their money-making scheme is over. And you know what they do? We find here it says, they caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the market under the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Now, they were fine with a church starting in Lydia's house. But when did the city of Philippi start getting upset about it? When the church got outside the four walls. When people started getting saved. When things started moving in the community. When it started affecting their financial bottom line. You know when the devil will really start getting upset in Greenville and the devil will really start getting upset in Atlanta? When the bottom line starts getting affected. When so many people stop drinking, bars start closing. When so many people stop reading the dirty magazines and getting the cigarettes and the liquor that the liquor stores and all those places start closing down, that's when the devil starts getting upset about it. There's a story during the 1904 Welsh revival. Wonderful revival broke out. A man by the name of Evan Roberts, God used in an amazing way during that revival. And there are stories of across the nation of Wales that judges would come to their court that morning, and the bailiff would come to them and say, "Judge, there's no cases to try today because nobody's been committing any felonies. Nobody's committing anything that needs to come see you." And they would hand the judge a pair of white gloves, and he would put the white gloves on. He would take the gavel and gavel the court adjourned for the day. As if there is my hands are clean. There's no blood on my hands. Why? Because so many people are getting right with God. And so many people were getting right with their families, and so many daddies were going home and being a daddy to their children and not running around out at night. Women weren't running around doing what they weren't supposed to be doing. There was just no crime in the cities when God began to move in a place. And you know what's happening here in Philippi? There's a church, but a place of leading then becomes a place of laboring. They're working there. They're working the harvest field that God has given them. Now, here's something that often happens in a place of leading. Place of leadings and place of laborings often become places of launching. Would you hold your place here with me, please? Go to Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, we find a beautiful picture in Acts 13. It's a picture of the church at Antioch. Church at Antioch is one of my favorite church buildings, one of my favorite churches in the New Testament. When we come to Acts chapter 13, the Bible says now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, this is quite the collection of people. In fact, the church at Antioch is the first multicultural church. The church at this point, up to this point in Acts 13, had been based in Jerusalem, and you had mostly proselytized Jews. Now you have this group here. You find one called Barnabas. He's a Levite, originally from Cyprus in the Mediterranean. He's traveling with Paul. You find also Simeon, called Niger. That's a Latin for black. He was probably a Jew of dark complexion. You have Lucius from Cyrene. That's North Africa. You have Manaen, brought up with Herod, the Herodian family. That's a political family. I mean, if you walked into this church building, people don't look alike. People don't talk the same way. Probably some walked. Some may have taken a chariot. They all had different backgrounds. And you would walk in and you would look at them and say, "I have no clue what connects all these people." And you know what it was? It was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, can you imagine this church at Philippi? You walk in the church at Philippi. You have Lydia of Thyatira. She's not European, she's Asian. You have the girl that everybody knew used to be demon-possessed, now she's going to your church. By the way, in a minute, we're going to get to it later in Acts 16. You know who else gets saved? The Philippian jailer gets saved. You would have walked into the church at Philippi and thought, what connects all these people? I'll tell you what it is. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're out in our community, and we're preaching the gospel, and we're reaching people, we should start bringing people into the church that don't look like us, talk like us, act like us. And we say, what connects all these people? It must be the gospel. It must be the good news. It must be that the Lord Himself has worked in their life, and He's done something miraculous. Well, here's what happens. They're laboring. They're working. Look at this in verse number 2 of Acts chapter 13. It says, as they ministered to the Lord. By the way, if you're doing any kind of work in church, you're not doing it for the Lord. You're not going to do it for very long. They ministered to the Lord. It says here, and fasted. We like to skip that part, but there's fasting going on as well. It says, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And what happens? The first missionary journey of Paul starts. You know what happens as they labored? Now you say, what were they doing? Well, I think they were teaching Sunday school and working the nursery and singing in the choir and going out door-to-door visitation. They were doing everything there I think we're doing here. They're just a first century church. a New Testament church, after people with the gospel. And God begins to touch some of them. And you know what he does? He says, I'm going to take you from this garden that I have here, and I'm just going to go plant you somewhere else. You know what happens as a church is a place of leading and it becomes a place of laboring? It must become a place of launching. I don't think your pastor would mind me saying this, but Choice Hills Baptist Church is not the end game. It is not the end all. It is just the place where things are to launch out of. You realize God does not want us staying in the same spiritual place we've always been. You know, I'm not going to get into a lot of church politics and things, but a lot of churches say come as you are, but sadly they leave you right where you were. God doesn't want us there. He wants us growing and maturing. God doesn't want us to stay the same place spiritually. And for some of you, He doesn't want you in the same place geographically either. You say, well, I kind of like it down there. Well, good. But if God is stirring something and God is moving something, don't get too comfortable in Philippi. Be awake. Be aware that God may use Philippi or Greenville as just a launching point for what is next. Go back with me to our passage. Look at me, please, at chapter 16, because look here. This place, it says in verse number 20, they bring them to the rulers and they brought them to the magistrate saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Now mark being Jews in verse number 20 and look at verse 21. It says, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Mark being Romans in verse 21. Verse 20, they say, well, they're Jews and this is how they live and we're Romans. Verse 21, this is how we live. You know what the world says? This is what the gospel does. The gospel breaks down cultural barriers. The gospel breaks down, well, society says this is how we're to live or this is what we're supposed to do. And you know what the gospel does? It breaks all of that down. Do you remember in John chapter 4 when Jesus is talking with the woman at the well and she says, the Jews don't normally talk with the Samaritans. That's what the gospel does. You may go out tomorrow and start talking with somebody and giving them the gospel and they think, people like you don't talk to people like me. And you know what happens? The gospel does that. The gospel takes us beyond this is how you're supposed to act and this is how you're not supposed to act and this is who you talk to and who you don't talk to. Look what he says here. It says in verse 21, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe. We've got to decide, are we going to obey God or obey man? And we find here, you know what these men say? They say, we're just going to go out and give the gospel, and then we're going to leave the consequences with the Lord. Because we have got to be faithful to Him. It's a place of laboring here. As I think about the gospel begins to change Philippi, there are stories of the time of Charles Finney, and I don't agree with everything Charles Finney did, but there are stories about when God was blessing in the times of revival, the mid, late 1800s. One account says cataclysmic changes followed the powerful revival labors. From frontier areas of America to the British Isles, a convert in Rochester, New York, left a description of the revival ministry in the city where more than 100,000 came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus within 1 year. And he wrote this, the whole community was stirred. Religion was the topic of conversation in the house, in the shop, in the office, on the street. The only theater in the city was converted into a stable. The only circus into a soap and candle factory. Bars were closed. The Sabbath was honored. Sanctuaries were thronged with happy worshipers. A new impulse was given to every philanthropic enterprise, and the fountains of benevolence were opened, and men lived to do good. Can you imagine if that was said about Greenville? Oh, I'd love to hear it said of Atlanta. You'd love to hear it said where you're at, these other missionaries. But what happens? It's when a leading place becomes a laboring place so that God can take it and use it as a launching place. Where are you at? Where do you find yourself in your life? In your life, maybe you say, well, Pastor, this is where I live and this is what I do. Okay, that's fine. But what has God put into your life? How is God moving and God is maturing you and developing you so that He may launch you out into something more? We get so comfortable as Americans. We like our health insurance and our steady salary and our canned goods and 17 different kinds of spaghetti sauce. Okay? We love all of it. And I know I'm preaching to the choir for some of you, but we've got to get outside of our comfort and our idea of what we need and what we have to have, and we've got to launch out into the deep. Well, I don't know what's out there in Philippi. God's out there, and He'll take care of you when you get there. And we find here, Paul says, we've just got to be faithful with the gospel. We've just got to get out there. And if they want to lock us up, if they want to take us down to the jail, look what happens. A multitude, verse 22, rise up against them. And the magistrates ran off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Charging the jailer to keep them safely. You know we're going to see him in a minute, right? It says in verse 24, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Look at this in verse 25. Don't miss it. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Now, often we stop right there when we read that verse. Now, I'm thankful. They're down in the stocks. They're down in the prison. They put them in the bottom of the jail. And they're singing and praising God at midnight. But you know what the rest of the verse says? And the prisoners heard them. Now, every word in Scripture is inspired, and God put it there on purpose. And I think He wanted those last few words in verse 25 says, and the prisoners heard them. I wonder where you're at right now. You may feel like I'm in the bottom of the prison, Brother Mark. Well, praise God and sing, because you don't know what other prisoners are there. They can hear you when you start singing. I don't know if they remembered those verses about a song in the night. Maybe they started singing some of the Psalms of Ascension. Maybe they started singing Psalm 150. I don't know. But they were singing up a storm. And the prisoners heard them there. So much so, it says in verse number 26, suddenly there was an earthquake. So the fountains of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open. Everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. God brings an earthquake, breaks the prison doors open. They begin to come out. They're leaving. The prison guard sees they're all leaving. He's ready to take his own life because he knows if he loses a prisoner of Rome, then his life is at stake. And they said, no, we're all here. And he says in verse number 30, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, I don't know, but I wonder if that guard didn't also hear some of those songs they were singing down in the bottom of the jail and heard some of those praises going up when they were down in that prison cell. And he thinks, I've got everything I could want. I have position and power. I'm of Rome. And yet these men have had everything taken from them. They're singing down in the prison. And he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Look at verse 32. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour that night, washed their stripes, was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. They get saved. They get baptized all the same night. And you know what I believe they do? You know where I think they go to from there? I think they go down to Lydia's house and they get added to the Philippi Baptist Church. You know why? Because God is just launching Paul out into the next thing. Why would he send him down to the prison? Because there's a prison guard that needs to be saved. And there's a family of that prison guard that needs to be saved. He's launching him out. And maybe you say, I don't understand, Brother Mark, why God's doing what he's doing, why he's pushing me the way he is, why this is happening in my life. Maybe because there's prisoners that need to hear you sing and a prison guard that needs to get saved, because this is a launching point. Because he doesn't want you to stay right where you are. He doesn't want you to be happy with your present situation. Look at this in verse 40. It says, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. They're added to the church. And then what happens? Well, they all settle down and just enjoyed it in Philippi. No, no. What's the last word of verse 40? Say it out loud. Departed. You know what that means? There's more work to do, right? You can continue in chapter 17. They go to Thessalonica. They go to Athens. They're in Corinth in chapter 18. He's back in Ephesus meeting the elders in the church of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. He just keeps moving. And you know what I think the Lord is trying to show us here? We've got to go from leading places to laboring places to launching places. We've got to keep moving forward with God. We've got to keep following Him. And it's going to stretch us. And it's going to be more than we think we can do. It's going to be beyond what we feel like we are capable of. But the Lord always meets us there. The Lord always goes before us and makes sure that we are... He looks out for us. He knows us. You know what He knows? He knows we're frail creatures. Matthew Henry, in talking about Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 38, the Lord of the harvest sending laborers into His harvest. Matthew Henry said, "Let us pray that many be raised up and sent forth, who will labor in bringing souls to Christ. It is a sign that God is about to bestow some special mercy upon a people when He stirs them up to pray for it. And then commissions giving to laborers in answer to prayer are most likely to be successful." He's saying God is doing something when He begins to take people and move them on. I believe He does that in the church at Antioch. Now here, Philippi, there's a church, and now Paul is moving on. Always on the move. Now, God may have you here in Greenville. God may have you to be right here at Choice Hills Baptist Church. But if He's ready to launch you out to a Cambodia or a Czech Republic or a Guyana or another place somewhere around the globe, don't shrink back from it. Step into it. Don't pull back and say, "Well, I don't have this kind of training. I don't have this kind of language understanding. There's no way I'll be able to do this." Look, if you're serving faithfully here, God may have something more for you there. God will bring the laborers to fill the gap. God will bring the laborers to fill in what you may leave behind. But do not hold back what God has for you. Labor until God is ready to launch you out in the next way. Will you bow your head and close your eyes with me as we think about these things?